Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the Content Call It today. It's Amanda and...
Hey, it's Kayla.
So today we have a great conversation with Hafiz Mitha, who is a social entrepreneur who is dedicated to bringing people together using play as a medium. He launched a really cool app, Play City, about 4 years ago, and we are going to talk all about that today. Ready, Kayla?
Ready. Let's do it.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Content Call Out today. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Well, let's just jump right in. Tell us all about Play City and how it came to be about and all the things you're doing with it now.
Yeah, thanks. So Play City is a free app that we created out of necessity from isolation, actually. So I guess over 4 years ago, I had moved back from Bangkok after selling my shares in my last company. And I was sitting in my nice condo across these amazing tennis courts that were constantly empty. And I remember thinking to myself, I am from the city and I have such a hard time trying to find people to play tennis with. It was a brand new sport for me then. A lot of my friends that were here played hockey or soccer or softball. So I really couldn't find anyone to play with in these amazing courts on my sabbatical. So I just started asking people around the area if they were having the same issue or not. And a lot of the same concerns kept on coming up, which were namely one, the lack of network. And if they found someone, it's very hard to find someone of the same skill. So Play City was born out of a solution for a problem that I was having. But I looked at other dating apps that were doing a great job connecting people, like the Tinders and Bumbles. And I thought, why don't we do the same thing, but for like physical activity buddies? And 4 years later, here we are. We connect people through play and connect them not only to other people, but also to events and facilities and programs that they could go check out as well too.
So wait. When you say that you were like asking people in the area, were you just like walking down the street and being like, hey, do you play tennis? Like, how did that work?
That's exactly what I did. Yeah. Like there was no shame involved. I would go to the gym and see people that were working out with their headphones on. And I would just tap on the shoulder like, hey, I'm working on something. Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions? And many people said they would like to find like an accountability partner or someone to hit the gym with or just like other activities, but they were all finding the same issue. I think that when you're starting a new business or anything, you have to have some sort of opportunity, but also just the ability to kind of put that fear aside of walking up to people and asking the right questions. And I was using it as user feedback and user interviews. So actually the same people that would give me that feedback, I would go back and draw up some potential prototypes and then ask them if I could show that to them and get their feedback on that. So they were actually part of that iterative process that helped us get to our MVP.
That's super crazy. Cool. Like yeah. A on the ground market research.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So then tell us about how this has evolved and, you know, during the times of COVID, because obviously, like you said, it came out of the first time with your isolation. So have you guys seen an increase? And I know a lot of people were trying to learn new skills during COVID. So are you seeing a lot of like new skills pop up and new connections that way?
Yeah, definitely. COVID was an interesting time for us because my entire mission is to connect people using technology offline, right? Which means like real face-to-face connections. So when it wasn't allowed really, and there was many restrictions on gyms and facilities being closed and all of our event partners were either temporarily laid off, like it was definitely very interesting. So we had to, I don't want to say pivot, but we had to add more value when we could. So we started something called Online Resources, which was like the quarantine channel on the app. And you could find wellness checklists. So if you were looking to see if you could have like the best day possible, what are some of those things that you can use to download and then potentially post on Instagram to keep yourself accountable with the community. We started a Wednesday check-in as well too for people in the place City ecosystem where you can talk about mental health, issue challenges, talk about podcasts that people were launching, really focus on just connecting people, but using physical activity as kind of like that medium, whether it was solo or through the checklist. But what was interesting through COVID in the last couple of months was the onset of our hikes. So we started doing a lot of group hikes that we would social distance, well, physically distance, but we're all still there together. People would show up at a meeting point and we would facilitate these things. So every 2 weeks we've started just exploring our own backyard, which has been amazing. That was really cool. And then the last thing we did was this hide and seek program. So we really wanted to get people out and really push the value of physical activity for the mental health side of things. So we started planting these things in different parts of the city and give people the opportunity to find tips and tricks or hints on the app. So it was kind of a sticky mechanism to keep people coming back to the app when they couldn't actually meet face-to-face with someone to match, but they could find clues on this like scavenger hunt that they could find things and then win prizes from our partners like Mech or some of the local kombucha companies like Barstart Booch or whoever else that we partner with. So it was really incentivizing people to still stay active and make sure that they found it as important as it was pre-COVID.
I think what I'm hearing from you is that building community has been a really, really, really important part of what you're doing. So how important do you think community is to marketing and to what you're doing?
I think it's everything. People need to feel like the soul of your product. And when you build community, like it starts off, it's kind of like this shotgun approach. You know, you cast a wide net to see who's going to actually stick and who finds the most value. But as you go further along and you face obstacles and you're forced to refine and refine and refine, that the people that stick are the ones that you have to focus on, right? So what we found for our community and what I'm focusing on going forward is many people that are newcomers to the city. So that's not necessarily newcomers to Canada. It's newcomers to a new neighborhood or a new city. Many that have just a limited network of people that are literally just lonely, right? Like there's many stats that have come out talking about how 1 in 3 Canadians are feeling lonely all the time. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of lifestyle issues that are coming out, just being isolated. So many people are just facing those issues, right? So I don't want to try and attract like the 23 million adults that are in Canada. I mean, that would be amazing. But if we can focus on a certain demographic, it's the people that come to our hikes, and many of them are coming from Iran or Nigeria or Sudan or like even the States, that they're just here for work and then don't really have friends. They want to be active. They just face barriers to be active. So that's kind of, I don't want to say silver lining because that's obviously overused, but it has been a nice outcome of COVID to really refine the community that we're trying to build.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the soul of your company. I think that's such a great way to put it, because a lot of times what they say is people don't buy your product, people buy the brand. How did you develop the soul of Play City when you were developing it?
Yeah, I love Simon Sinek and the Start With Why. And that's always driven why we've done what we did. So like when I sold my shares, my last company, I was on my sabbatical and I traveled to India and Nepal to visit a buddy that started a nonprofit out there. And I remember thinking, because all I had was my journal. And I was like, what do I want to spend my life doing? Because life is finite and I'm very in touch with mortality and know that every day is a gift, right? Like I've been to enough funerals. I don't want to get too deep on that. There's just limited time. So let's make it count, right? So my why has always been, ever since I was a kid, creating events like at my house, we'd have big barbecues, or even when I worked at Scotiabank when I went to university, I started like soccer nights or hockey nights or whatever. It was always just bringing people together. And then I used to run like hockey teams as well too. Like I was the captain of my couple teams and there were rec teams or whatever, but I always enjoyed just kind of doing the work to bring people together and seeing the fruits of that labor being like the happiness and like the connection that people are making and the friendships that were happening. So I didn't know that that would turn into Play City, but I always knew that I enjoyed doing those things. It made me feel alive. So my why when we started Play City was really two things. It was, I saw the value of physical activity, what it can do to people's lives when they actually just do things that are active. And that doesn't necessarily mean playing a sport. It's just like going for a walk or just being outside or exercising or doing whatever, sitting on this elliptical, whatever it is, right? It's just like the value of physical activity. I really want to push that because you look at the stats and 80% of people are not getting the recommended physical activity amounts, which just turns into like a lot of lifestyle chronic issues that could be mitigated with some of these choices. And second, I was really moved by the conversations I was having in Nepal and India, and they were not in the same language because I couldn't speak the language, but it was nonverbal when I was playing badminton or kicking around the ball. There's a lot of these high fives, and I found myself connecting with people on a deeper level through a shared interest. So as I was journaling out there, I really thought about, okay, I want to work on something impactful. I want to work on something that's got a social purpose. Definitely want to help people's lives. And if I can work on the community that's battling like ignorance and intolerance and racism and things like that, and I realize that it comes down to people having conversations, but having a conduit to meet to have that shared conversation and realize how much similar we actually are versus like different we are, and celebrate those differences and learn about other people and cultures and foods and all those other things. So those are always kind of the seeds of like what sprouted Play City. So I've always kind of had that as our ethos. It's much more than just a play app. It's more of a movement to create connection using play as that medium to foster belonging. Yeah, and tolerance for all people.
So I have a question for you. And like you said, not going too deep, but I think it's really amazing that you got that clarity through journaling. That's a practice that I'm also a big fan of. So how do you feel about gratitude journaling, gratitude practice? Does that play into Play City at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a gratitude practice every day as well too. I tend to wake up, and pre-COVID, like I started meditating quite a bit right before COVID, probably about 3 or 4 months earlier. I'd wake up every day and meditate. I'd get home and I'd crack up with my journal and I would write 4 things or 5 things I was grateful for. We often bitch about like first world problems, right? The fact is that we have like high-speed internet. We're in a country that has like amazing healthcare. We're free from war and famine and all these different things. So life can be a lot worse. So life is still pretty good. But I think that when we get spun out and we're just in the day-to-day of whatever job we have or relationships or whatever, we don't look at the big picture. So taking a step back and actually saying, I'm grateful for my parents being healthy. I'm grateful for having an amazing dog. I'm grateful for my home that I get to live in. I'm grateful for my awesome friends that are supportive. Grateful for the weather today. And I can go outside and actually do things, right? Like little things things like that just spawn this happiness inside of you to make everything else kind of not seem like a big deal. In the grand scheme of things, they usually aren't, right? So I think gratitude is huge for just reshaping our psyche to make life, I guess, more manageable and understand that we complicate things and life can be a lot more simpler if we just let it.
Totally. Do you get that message out to the people that use your app and go on these hikes and do things like that?
I don't try to push on people. You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone today about Play City as an extension of me. I think that any company or any project that you do and you found, like, it's just an extension of you. So I think Play City has the soul of my evolution and everything else, you know, what I'm trying to build and innately inside of it. So through our messaging and push notifications, like, we'll tell people, like, have fun being that person that you meet today. Like, don't forget to smile at your neighbors, right? Like, be grateful for the fact that you can move your body. Like, a lot of people look at exercise as I have to do this versus being grateful. Like, I'm grateful for my body to be able to move because you don't know what you have until you've lost it, right? Maybe I don't do as good of a job as getting that message out there, but that is the message I want to get out, is that we live in a country that has always been kind of known for its multiculturalism. I think we have to do our own part to kind of keep that alive by smiling at our neighbors and chatting them up and seeing where they're from. It's funny, like, I get that from having a dog as well too. I got a dog during COVID. I always had a dog growing up. It was like my dad's dog. It wasn't like my dog, right? So this dog, when I had to take it for four, and she's a husky as well too, so she's got a ton of energy and I got to get her outside. But getting outside and actually waving to my neighbors and not driving by them, ripping by them in my car, it's more so like a very slow approach. Like, I see them on their lawns or patios and I give them the hello, and you start to see people day in and day out and you just build this connection, right? So I don't even know what the question was. I just went on that rant.
I mean, I was going to say though, the dog would have been very useful when you were canvassing the neighborhood asking about the tennis.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like I have a child star with her. I get stopped all the time. She's stunning. I got super lucky because I fostered her. Sorry, I rescued her from a family, but I'm like, why would you give this up? She was amazing. So I felt like she was meant for me, but it's been awesome.
Okay, so let's then talk about your entrepreneurial journey, because you've mentioned a couple times you had another company, you sold the shares. Mm-hmm. Now you do Play City. I think something that entrepreneurs and small business owners really get bogged down in it is time. It's very hard to find the time to be grateful, to be physically active. You've been an entrepreneur for a while. So, like, how do you carve out that time to make sure you're taking care of yourself?
Well, I think that's just it. It's actually putting myself as a priority. I think that as entrepreneurs, we have flexible schedules. We do things on our own time. I fell into this trap as well too, right? Like, being busy, just busy being busy, right? So a lot of my meetings were at bars, or I'd be sitting on a national patio having a few beers and getting work done, and we're doing all these things, right? But you end up feeling shit and you don't really get things done, right? So I think the opportunity is to really put yourself as a priority and understand that your business is only as strong as you are as a person. So I really put a focus on my own mental health, my physical health, my spiritual health. Like, all these things have just become this overarching, like, priority. So I can actually survive and keep it going as well too, and have the level of energy that I want to have to get things done, because business is super tough. It's not easy. I think many times it's romanticized as this, like, way out and, like, all these different things, but many people start a business just to make a ton of money. And if that's your only driver, it's a rude awakening, but you're not going to make it, because you need to have a strong why of what you're doing, right? So yeah, it's been a learning process, right? Like, I started my first company when I was 21, right after university. And I did that for 8 years or 9 years before I sold my shares. And there's many ups and downs, right? But I think that if you don't feel strongly about the business that you're in, or, like, why you're doing it, then there's natural rifts. But it's also being true to yourself as well too, to say, like, you know, why am I actually doing things and asking those hard questions?
So 4 years in, Play City is now 4 years old. That's huge. Yep. Congratulations. So where do you see the future? What are you guys doing next? How do you think you're going to move forward in these kind of, like, I hate the term, just like you probably hate the term pivot, but, you know, in these unprecedented times, how are you moving forward?
The new normal.
Yeah. Oh God. Can we just all agree we're all sick of those terms? Pivot, new normal, unprecedented times.
Yeah. Buzzwords are funny like that, right? You know what? I think that we're sitting pretty good, only because I think that many people throughout COVID had the opportunity to kind of pause a little bit. And when you strip away some of the spending habits or some of the distractions that we have, just because simply you were closed or you weren't allowed, I think people have to sit with their thoughts and understand and really take a, like, stock of their life, right? So I know the people that I've talked to, or even come out to our hikes or some of our events, they've said that maybe I did lose my job, or maybe I lost some income streams. What I found when I took everything away, going back to gratitude, is I have community. I have these amazing mountains right here. I have friends that I can meet on Play City. There's a lot of cool people doing a lot of great things to do. So I think people took stock of the fact that oftentimes we get stuck in this cycle of day in, day out, of just, like, the hustle porn again, right? I'm going to bust my ass. I'm going to drink. I'm going to hang with my friends. I'm going to bust my ass and do the same thing over and over again. So the ability to slow it down and actually try new things and experience things and build some new confidence and realizing that whatever your life is today doesn't have to be the way it goes for the rest of your life. So many people have taken not only stock, but they've been a lot more intentional with the way they want to spend their time. So I found that if we can offer like novel activities and really fun things to do that are facilitated and really are geared at beginners trying new things, but also trying to focus on them building their confidence in the process while supporting the local economy, we can create these win-win scenarios that businesses are building awareness with our growing community and our community is getting value by actually going to try these new things. So it's a cycle of great things. And then it's really cool to see because some people that have showed up on our hikes from the first day have now come to like 10 hikes later and they have new boots and these hiking gear and poles and a new bag and they're pumped about it. And yes, I want them to spend on things that matter and actually enhance their experience. But I like to see the confidence that they're like, you know, what are we doing in the wintertime? Are we doing snowshoeing? Are we going to do some downhill skiing? Like, what do you have planned next, right? Like, they're pumped about where things go. And it's inspiring me to go out there and find these partnerships to say, I have an excited community. Like, what can you offer?
So what is your favorite hike you've done this year?
I have to say my favorite hike has been, I really enjoyed Rawson Lake, only because there's a cool steep like uphill to get there. And there's a really cool like log path that you walk on. And then it opens up to this like amazing lake that you can fish or keep summiting. But it was just a perfect day. It was like the right amount of time out there. I'm not a fan of like the crazy long 12-hour hikes. I think the sweet spot for me is like 6 hours back and forth, about 650 meters of elevation, maybe about a 10 to 12K hike. And that was just like sweet spot.
Right. Do you think it's fair to say that through Play City, you are offering people a form of healthy escapism, especially in the new normal?
I think so. That's funny again as well too, right? Like many people work the entire year for that week off or 2 weeks off to go to like Hawaii or wherever and just explore the world, right? And that wanderlust. But what I've realized is that you can have that every single day if you're intentional about it. Like when was the last time you actually walked in your neighborhood and found a new park that was by your house that you didn't even know existed? When was the last time you actually just went to Edworthy and walked around and did something out there? But when was the last time you went to Kananaskis and went to Upper Kananaskis and just walked around that river path, right? Or the lake. Like there's amazing things that you can do. So yes, people are escaping, but they're also like finding things that are right here and oftentimes are free. It's also really crowdsourced as well too, because like I'm born and raised in Calgary and this is the most hiking I've ever done in my life. This is the most I've actually ever been to Kananaskis in one season in my life, right? And I'm literally born and raised here. So I'm one of those people that were escaping to different parts of the world to see and experience things. Well, I can fish and camp and hike or play tennis or play softball or do whatever right here because you don't need to travel the world. We have the world in our city with all the different people and different activities. It's just getting out of my own way and trying new things.
Yeah, totally. So what is your biggest advice, I guess, to new entrepreneurs who are trying to break out and trying new things?
I'd say first and foremost is like start with your why. Have a strong why because you need to have a North Star. There is so many ups and downs and valleys and creeks and lots of other stuff on your path that you want to go. But if you know exactly where you're going, you can kind of navigate so you don't get pulled in too many directions. I would say have a target audience in mind and really do the work to find a niche where you can fit in instead of like the shotgun approach and try to do everything for everyone because that's not sustainable. I would also say, well, team, like your team members are so important. People not only that have complementary skills, but share that same vision. Like it should be very apparent that they care about what you care about, right? Like Tyler, who works with me on marketing, funny enough, grew up down the street from me in the same neighborhood. And we only met like a year and a half ago, right? But the values that he has on diversity and inclusion and using sport as a way to bridge these gaps, it just hit hard. So I feel like I found a brother in my company, right? Like we work so well together. And it's because those values are aligned and egos are put away for the greater good, right? But I'll also say the last thing is, it's really hard to build something today that hasn't been done before. So do the research and try to enhance on something or maybe something's done amazing in a different city that you can actually like reference and bring here. But having really great mentors and that don't have to be local, right? Like I have mentors that are all over the world that I chat with once a month. You can ask people on LinkedIn if they can help you or make carve out time to chat or whatever. And so seek the help because that can just save you a ton of heartache and utilize those experiences to catapult you further.
So I have a further question about knowing your audience. And like we already talked about building your community. Once you have the idea, you're going forward and it's time to start building that community and getting your message out. How do you do that?
Well, I don't know if you build a community without creating the awareness. Like I think you have to start somewhere. So if you put something out, and it could be as simple as a landing page, right? Like, I think many people, and that's kind of the trap that many people as entrepreneurs get into, like, I have to have this refined, amazing product before I get it out to the market. Sometimes all you need is a landing page and a post on a Facebook group or something like that to say, like, who's interested in, I don't know, whatever it is. I'm looking at a stapler right now. Like, I'm talking about staples. Let's have a staple meetup group or something like that. And everyone's like, yeah, I'm interested in staples as well too. Like, you have to put an idea out there to attract, like, what's your bait and what kind of fish are you trying to attract? And once you have those fish to use, how are you, I don't know, stocking that pond, I guess, with other ideas. But I don't think community is built first. You have to find your value proposition first. So what's the problem that you're trying to solve? And then solve it for one person. And if you can solve it for one person, then solve it for two, and then solve it for three, and then maybe 10, and then 20. I think if you try to build a community too fast, it's going to be full of a lot of random people. It will just kind of either splinter off into its own communities and people will do what you're trying to do in the first place, or it will just dissolve.
Right.
I think something you said there was really key too, though, but is you said, don't wait to make it perfect. Launch with something. And I think that is, like, we get into a very weird cycle of making sure everything looks like Instagrammable and social media ready and, like, really perfect. And I think that's a really good lesson for entrepreneurs and small businesses is, like, you have to try, right? You have to try and you have to put something out there.
It's the iterative process, right? Like, you are not going to nail it on the first shot, right? So you get something out there and you get feedback and then you learn from that feedback and then you iterate and you try again and then you measure and you ask again and you keep on going in this cycle. And nothing ever is perfect. Like, you look at Facebook when they first launched, it looked like Craigslist or what it is today, right? If they had all their features and everything else that they had today on the first shot, it would just scare people because it was too vast and too big, right? So when you start small, the people that stick can help you grow and their feedback actually drives the growth of whatever you're trying to build, right? Like, if you started a clothing store that was only for, I don't know, Halloween costumes, and all of your Halloween costumes were just based on, like, certain fantasy, I don't know, and people didn't like that, then you can actually iterate and say, okay, well, I'm gonna get rid of that and maybe bring in, like, sports, and that all of a sudden maybe takes off. Like, these are obscure examples, but you have to use the community feedback as a way to grow. Like, you don't know it yourself. You never will. And then what you think you're going to build is never usually the end product. You have an idea of what you want to solve. What that product looks like may not be it.
So you've already talked about, disclaimer, nothing ever works completely perfectly on the first try. And you've also mentioned that you guys are sitting well right now, but if you could have it exactly the way you wanted perfectly, where would you guys be in 10 years?
Just a disclaimer, things are not perfect on my end as well too. Like, our app is still very buggy. Things are happening all the time. I don't have all the features I want in there. So, like, you know, funding is always an issue. There's always things. My mindset is that I'm where I'm supposed to be today and I'll deal with whatever comes that way. Because if I compared myself to other companies that have more funding, a bigger team, whatever, like, I would be crying all the time. Right? That's just not where I am. So in 10 years from now, I see Play City in the hands of every adult that wants to find someone to be active with. I see Play City as part of every single sport organization, newcomer organization that wants to attract people to stay active and integrate in society using sport as a medium to do so. And I also see a large corporation or a brand that has acquired Play City, and maybe I'm running it from an internal perspective. Like, I always had a dream of working with, like, a Nike or an Adidas. And right now we work with Mac, so maybe that could be the stepping stone to get to there from a different perspective. But a community that's already built, that has vast reach, that already has shared values of equality and diversity and the value of physical activity. I want to be a tool that's utilized by an existing platform already to help enhance that experience. And they see the value of having a community that's already qualified, that are looking to be more active, right? There's so many opportunities to help people level up when you actually have them as a qualified individual in your ecosystem.
Amazing. Well, I mean, I think this is probably a really good point in the conversation to let you take it away here and tell us, where can we find you? How do we get onto Play City? Sure. Tell us all about you. Yeah.
Yeah. So our website is playcityapp.com. You can download the app from there. So we're available on the Apple iTunes Store or Google Play. It is a free app to download. If you are an organization that cares about diversity and inclusion and wants to connect people within your organization or within the community or sponsor Play City, you can get a hold of me on the app or the website as well too. We did just launch a partnership with the Parks Foundation of Calgary to get more people out to some of the outskirts of the city, some of those other greenway parks and pathways that maybe are not as utilized as they would like. So we're always looking for ways to help and work together to create win-win scenarios. I would say follow us on Instagram as well too. You can find out more about some of our perks and some of our contests that we have going on. Like, right now we have one for our Vancouver audience to get a free night in, like, a rooftop tent from a company that we're partnering with. And there's also plenty of MEC gift certificates that we give out for our hide and seeks and some of our other programs. But if you're interested in finding awesome people to be active with and try new things, download Play City. It's free. And yeah, we'd love to have you.
And how many cities is Play City in?
A vanity metric is that we're downloaded in like over 300 cities. So everywhere from Lisco to Dubai to Calgary. But because we only focus our marketing on like Canadian cities, right now we're in Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver, a small audience in Montreal, and a growing audience in Toronto. But we're looking for national partnerships to really help kind of springboard some of those critical mass in different cities.
Very cool.
Amazing.
And I also like that this app allows somebody who is a novice and super clumsy like me to also meet somebody who is a novice and super clumsy in all sports.
Yeah, I was going to say, does anyone teach tennis on the app?
Yeah, definitely. Like, actually, I picked up my racket for the first time when I started Play City, right before I started Play City. And I had the opportunity to work with a trainer that worked out at Anytime Fitness. And he saw me with the racket one day and he's like, I'm looking for someone to play with. And I said, I suck. And he's like, well, I'll teach you and you'll get better and you'll play. And it's taken me a couple of years, but now I can hang. And yeah, we have some really great matches. I've actually beat him a couple of times. Sorry, Hansen. But if you ever want to get certain types of like lessons or whatever, a lot of our partners actually offer that. So for example, like Repsol Center is one of our larger partners. And if you want to find a trainer, you can do that. There's drop-in badminton. There's spin classes that are facilitated. We partnered with like Alberta Tennis before, and it's just other things that you want to join on there. Like that's exactly the types of questions that we're looking to fulfill. Many people are not only trying to find someone to play with the first time, but if you're brand new to the sport, that's what we want to facilitate. What are the options out there to actually get into a sport? And that's what Play City will help drive.
Amazing. Well, super fantastic.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Content Call-Out today, man. This was such a cool conversation and such a great holistic way to look at not just physical activity, but how it contributes to your mental health and to combating isolation, loneliness, and, you know, just general, if you're me, laziness. So. And
if you
I
need
appreciate
an accountability partner, make it happen. We got you covered.
Oh, I gotta go. Just kidding.
I really do appreciate it though too. Thank you for reaching out and asking me to be on here. It's really, really cool what you guys are doing.
Awesome. Thank awesome. You. All right. Well, have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Cheers.
Hey everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into that excellent episode with Hafiz from Play City. That was such an excellent conversation that we just had with him. And I really, really, really appreciate the entrepreneur that has a conscience, which we just learned from Hafiz. It was really excellent to listen to him talk about his gratitude practice and his journaling and how that actually helped him plant the seeds for his business and grow it as an extension of who he is. Amanda, what did you think of that chat?
Oh, it was amazing. Something that I really appreciate what he focused on too was about your why. Really making sure that as an entrepreneur, you have your why as your North Star, as he mentioned, and just really helping that like pinpoint you and helping it guide you through all the ups and downs that come with being an entrepreneur. I think that's so key.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I wonder if more people actually had that cemented when they start their business, if it would be easier. I mean, it's never easy, but I just wonder.
Yeah, I think that would be a really great lesson. And I think that'll be key for a lot of different people.
Okay, well, great. Thank you so much to everyone again for joining us today. Give us a like, give us a comment, give us a share, and tune in next time. See ya.
Bye.